Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sukkah, Chaf Ches. Yesterday's daf dedicated itself to the topic of Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to continue that discussion today. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The daf will be learned. L'zeich Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. Yesterday's daf, we talked all about the Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer refused to go anywhere in Sukkot. In fact, he praised people. People who are lazy. In general, laziness is not a good midah, but Rabbi Eliezer says when it comes to Yantav, it's good to be lazy, good to be home, and good not to leave on Yantav. That's in general. And then on Sukkot, there's another reason why you don't want to leave on Sukkot, and that is, according to Rabbi Eliezer, because you need your own Sukkah. A person has to own his Sukkah, much like a person has to own his own Lulav and Esrog, so therefore there's a requirement of ownership of Sukkah, and so therefore Rabbi Eliezer says you must actually be in possession of your very own Sukkah. You can't go move to another Sukkah, even if it's yours. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Eliezer, once you have a sukkah, that's it. You choose it, you pick it, that's your sukkah, and that'll be your sukkah for the duration of sukkahs. If you move from one sukkah to another, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that you haven't fulfilled your obligation. Rabbi Eliezer does...
You have your 2 years since you're going to somebody else.
Doesn't sound that way.
No.
Again, this is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So
this is...
The Torah is certainly not Lamaisa, but no, doesn't sound that way. Sounds like from Rabbi Eliezer that one cannot have a meal outside of his very own sukkah. In fact, yesterday, the second to last incident that we recorded yesterday's daf, so one of his students came over to visit him. There's a mitzvah to visit your rabbi on Yantiv. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore, so how are you going to be mekabel p'nei Shechina? How are you going to get closer to Shechina on Yantiv? So you go visit your rabbi. So one of the students of Rabbi Eliezer went to visit him on Yantiv. So Rabbi Eliezer says, mistake. you shouldn't have come and visited me on Yantiv. You should have stayed home. In other words, you're not allowed to leave your sukkah. Aliba de Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, we don't pass like Rabbi Eliezer. We are the normative practice. Allah has accepted that you can move around from sukkah to sukkah on sukkahs, and you can build a sukkah on Chol HaMoed, and you don't have to be... To be chained to one sukkah over the course of sukkahs, you can move around. You can sukkah hop. I guess if we were to title yesterday's daf, it would be sukkah hopping. But that's the shita that we accept. Okay. We had a little discussion yesterday about tashlumim, about making up that first meal. Again, we pass on the chachamim. You can't make up that first meal. The only mitzvah to eat in the sukkah is only the first night. And if you miss a meal, so you simply cannot make it up. We are still within Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. A couple of other things we're going to be discussing. Rabbi Eliezer was in the conversation with one of his students. There was an incident that Gemara quoted, it's the Tosefta, where a student asked if he could place a sheet on the top of a sukkah. Now, it's interesting, in the Gemara notes, that this incident had Rabbi Eliezer visited to the Gela Elyon, and he went to the sukkah of Yochanan Rabbi Eli. Now that's strange because, as we just got done introducing, you can't leave your sukkah on sukkahs. And the Gemara noted that, and the Gemara pointed it out, and the Gemara says this was not sukkahs. In fact, the whole incident over here didn't take place on Yantav at all, but rather the whole incident took place on Shabbos. And the question that was being asked was, can I place a sheet on the top? But what had nothing to do with sukkahs? It wasn't a sukkah question, but rather it was a binyan question. Am I allowed to add to building on Yantav? This is what's called mosif ala ohel. That was a question that was posed to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer didn't give an answer. He refused to give an answer. And the Gemara, in a moment, we're going to continue now from where we left off yesterday, and the Gemara is going to wonder, well, why didn't Rabbi Eliezer give an answer? Meaning, because we have a Mishnah in which we know his position on Mosif al Binyan. Now, every time he was asked a question, he refused to give an answer. And the Gemara explained why. What is the behavior of Rabbi Eliezer? So the Gemara says it's towards the bottom of the Amud, because he did not say anything that he did not hear in the name of his Rebbe. And so therefore Rabbi Eliezer refused to repeat something if he didn't hear it in the name of his Rebbe. It's a good question, and I don't have an answer for it, but I saw that that's not always true by Rabbi Eliezer, meaning sometimes we do see Rabbi Eliezer say things not in the name of his Rebbe. In fact, perhaps the most popular story regarding Rabbi Eliezer is Tanur Dachnai, the oven, where he and the Chachamim were having a disagreement of whether the oven is Tamei or Tahor. So the Chachamim took one position, and they ruled in that position, and Rabbi Eliezer took another position. He disagreed with the Chachamim. And he was arguing, and he right? The Gemara B'Metzia tells us, well, if I'm right, so the river should flow in the other direction, and the wall should lean and start falling down. And in a lot of simanim, a lot of signs came from Shamayim, in which indicated that was right. And I saw a number of people ask, well, you see there, in that particular instance, Rabbi Eliezer wasn't quoting anybody. In fact, he was espousing his own viewpoint. And so we do find sometimes the Rabbi Eliezer quotes, I'm sorry, does not quote somebody. Okay, it's a good question. Fine, let's continue where we left off yesterday. It wasn't Sukkot, it wasn't Yom Tov, it was Shabbos. The question was, can I take a sheet and add it to the top of an ohel on Shabbos? So Rabbi Eliezer didn't answer. He, however, when the sheet was finally placed over the top, meaning the Tana who was asking Rabbi Eliezer, he was so uncomfortable, so he finally placed the sheet on the top. So Rabbi Eliezer picked up all of his belongings and excused himself from the sukkah. The Gemara says, when the very bottom of Chazayim and Beis were two lines from the bottom. So why not answer the question based on his own opinion, which is, didnan pekaka achalon, the shutter of the window. Remember going back to Masechta Shabbos, we had a discussion there of, right, they didn't have blinds, they, for the most part, they didn't have windows. They just simply had a hole carved in the on the side of the house, and so they had a shutter, and what they would do is they would put the shutter back in. So can you do that on Shabbos? So Rabbi Eliezer takes a more chomer position. He takes a more stringent position. So Rabbi Eliezer's position is only if the shutter is already part of the house. So that way I'm not adding on to binyan. I'm not adding to the building. So if the shutter is tied to the window sill, or to the frame of the window, and it's tied to the point where it's not even on the ground anymore, meaning the string is so taut that the shutter is still hanging in the air. So, under those circumstances, you'd be allowed to put the shutter in the window. Otherwise, you can't put the shutter in the window. That is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim Omrim, Ben Kach Umen Kach, Pokekin. And the Chachamim say, no, even if the shutter is not tied, even if it's not hanging, you can put the shutter on the window, that's not an issue. Okay, but anyway, what do you see from Rabbi Eliezer? So, as long as it's already attached, so then you can then you can put the shutter on the window. If it's not attached and I'm inserting it, so then I can't put the shutter into the window because that's a violation of Mosif Ala Oel. So the Gemara now wonders, so how does it work over here? How come when asked the question of putting the sheet over the top of the sukkah on Shabbos, so how come Rabbi Eliezer says, well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Your shita in Masechta Shabbos. So the Gemara in the top of Chav Ches Amud Aleph answers, Hasam Hud Mevatel, Avahachad Lo Mevatel Lo. So the Gemara gives a very succinct answer, and the Gemara says it depends on whether or not you're going to be Mevatel. What exactly does that mean? So take a look at the top Rashi, where Rashi explains, Hasam Mevatele, Lahai Pekak Legabe Chalon, V'chashiv Le Mikosel Atzmo. The shutter is significant. It's a solid piece of wood. I'm putting it into the hole in my house, right? The window frame. So there, that's binyan. That's building. Because there, you're literally adding onto your house. You're putting the shutter there. Your intent is to keep it over there. So that's mosif al habinyan. Rashi writes, "Mikosel atzma hilka chave mosif aval sadin anan sahadi delam avatale lagabi suka v'sofo litlo hilka chlo pshita lele Rabbi Eliezer delahave mosif." But when it comes to a sheet, you put a sheet on, you take the sheet off. It's very temporary. Anan sahadi, Rashi says, we can all testify to the fact that this sheet's probably going to be taken off later on. You can't really call this an addition to the building to lay a sheet over the top. Rabbi Eliezer did see a position, an argument that one can make, that even though the shutter is prohibited, but placing a sheet over the top, so that would be permissible. Continuing now with our theme, which was yesterday's theme, and continues to be today's theme, which is Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. So the Rabbi Eliezer one time went to the Upper Galilee, and they asked him 30 halachos regarding sukkah. Shtemesrei Amar Lahem, Shamati. So 12 he says, I know what the halach is. Shmonesar Amar Lahem, Lo Shamati. But 18 he says, I don't know what the halach is. Or I haven't heard what the halach is. Again, going consistent to his viewpoint that we saw in the beginning of today's daf, he refused to say something if he didn't hear it from his Rebbe. Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, Amar Chilufa Dvarim. Now Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda just simply is going to make one tweak in this story, in this Masorah. And that is not not 12 and 18, but rather 18 and 12. Shimon Asar Amalam Shemati, 18 of them he says he knows what the halach is, he heard what the halach is, and Shem Asar Amar Lo Shemati. Amar Lo Kol Dvaracha Einam Ela Mipi Hashmua. So they say to him, is that okay behavior? Meaning you only say something which is Mipi Hashmua, from that which you heard, and as Rashi points out, it was a little bit of a criticism of Rabbi Eliezer. Meaning, how come you don't know all 30? Right, Rabbi Eliezer, you're Rabbi Eliezer. I don't know how better to say it. You're Rabbi Eliezer. How come you don't know all 30 questions? And you only know either 12 or 18, depending on which version you're going to go with? And you don't know all 30? So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to have to do this. Now, you could call it boasting. Let's not. But basically, Rabbi Eliezer is basically going to explain to everybody, no, this has nothing to do with my lack of diligence, my lack of commitment to Torah. No. Rabbi Eliezer says, in fact, Amar Lahem is Kaktuni Lomar Davar Shelo Shamati Mipi Rabbasai. So now you're going to force me to say something, which I didn't hear from my Rebbeim. Mi amai lo kidamni adam beveis ha-medrash velo kidamni beveis ha-medrash. Number one, no one ever beat me to the beveis ha-medrash. I was there first. Number two, velo yashanti beveis ha-medrash. And not only that, when I got to the beveis ha-medrash, I didn't take a little nap. In other words, I was diligent learning the entire time. Lo shenes keva, velo shenes sarai. Not a deep sleep, not a short sleep. Velo yinachti adam beveis ha-medrash v'yatzasti. And I never left anyone in the Beis Medrash. So I was first in, last out. And I never engaged in any type of mundane chatter. I was always committed to learning Torah and discussing Torah. I'm sorry, Mipi Rabbi. And not only that, but when I said something, I only said something in the name of my Rebbe. I'm sorry, period. Okay, we can place the period over there. Okay, so Rabbi Lezer basically says, look, if I know it, fine. And if I don't know it, it has nothing to do with my lack of commitment. I just simply will not say something if I didn't hear the name of my Rebbe. I probably do know the halacha. I am extraordinarily diligent. Just, I won't say something if my Rebbe didn't say it. Me'olam amar olav avarav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now, the Gemara is going to point out that we could say the same thing about Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. If I'm not mistaken, I believe he's a Rebbe to Rebbe Eliezer. And the Gemara points out, Lo sachzi chaschulin, he never discussed mundane matters, Velo halach ala amos, Velo Torah, Velo tefillin, and never did he go walk four amos without either learning Torah or having tefillin on. Velo kidmu adam beveis ha-medrash, and nobody preceded him to the beis medrash. Velo yasham beveis ha-medrash, Lo sichas, Keva velosicha sarai, no sleeping in the Beis Medrash, neither a good sleep or even just a short nap. Velo hira b'mavos ha-metunafos, and while walking through alleyways where it was dirty and it was foul, so that you're not allowed to learn Torah, he made sure not to learn Torah in those areas, which would be a bizayon, and not only a bizayon, it's also a nisser, to learn Torah where it's a foul-smelling area. Velo hiniach adam beveis ha-medrash v'yatza. He didn't leave anybody in the Beis Medrash again, last to leave. Velo matza adam yoshev v'domim ela yoshev v'shoneh. And he never sat idly. He was always learning and reviewing. Velo pasach adam dela l'talmidav ela hu be'atzmo. And when it came to opening the door, he didn't subcontract the job of opening the door to other people. He would open this door for his own students out of respect for his students. Velo amar davar shel oshama mipi rabo me'olam. And he too would only say something if he heard it from his Rebbe. Velo amar higia eiz la'amod mibeis ha-medrash. And he never rang the bell in the Beis Medrash, meaning to excuse everyone from the Beis Medrash, meaning the Beis Medrash was on every day. Only two times over the course of the year that they were learning in the Beis Medrash, and that is chutz me'avri pesachim v'avri yom kippurim, except for Erev Pesach and Erev Yom Kippur. Okay, Erev Pesach, does Rashi over here say? And if not, Rashi and Pesachim certainly does say. Erev Pesach, yeah, Rashi here says, Mimnei asiyas pescheim, o mimnei atinokas shelo yishano kach mefurs b'pesachim. So Rashi over here quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, and Rashi says, well, number one, come Pesach. Okay. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was actually witness to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So, but in the beginning of his life, there was still Karban Pesach being brought. And I've heard arguments that Karban Pesach was brought even immediately after the Churban Bayis, but okay. That's number two, get the kids to take a nap, right? We smile when we think about it that, you know, dad needs to come home in order for the kids to take a nap. Meaning mom tells the kids to take a nap, okay. Dad comes home, okay. we're gonna go take a nap. And also an Erev Yom Kippur. Erev Yom Kippur, you got to eat. Mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So he told the young men in the Beis Medrash, okay, time to go home. V'chein haya Rav Elazar tamido noheg acharav. Okay, I didn't have to speculate. The Gemara says it, that Rabbi Eliezer was a student of Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai. So good, so we have the Mesorah, the Shalshalos HaMesorah, where we have Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, who basically conducted in a way where he was super diligent. His Asmada was perfected, or to the best it could be perfected. And that Mesorah was handed over to his student, Rabbi Eliezer, who also had tremendous Asmada. Tanu Rabbanan, Shmonim Tamidim Hayu Lo L'Hil HaZakkai. So we're working backwards. So we went from Rabbi Eliezer, back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, back to Hillel HaZaken. So this takes us from the middle of the Bayis Sheni all the way to the end of the Bayis Sheni with these three Tanayim. From Hillel to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to Rabbi Eliezer. Shmona Tamina Hayu L'Hillel HaZaken. There were 80 students to Hillel HaZaken. Shlosh Mehem Ru'im Shetishrei Alem Hashchina. Now of that, 30 of them were fit to have Hashras Hashchina. Meaning 30 of them, they didn't have Hashras Hashchina. This is during Bayis Sheni. But they perfected themselves to the point where they could have had Hashras Hashchina. K'moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, just like Moshe Rabbeinu. But again, we know there was no Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. No one had Hashras Hashchina like Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why the language of the Gemara is Roi. They were fit to have, but they didn't. Some story. Shloshim Mehem Ruim Shetam Olam Chama Ki Yoshua Benon. That accounted for 20 of them. Sorry. 30 of them. 30 of them also could have the sun stop for them like Yoshua Benon. Okay, so that accounts for another 30 of them. So 30 were like Moshe, 30 were like Yehoshua Benon, and Esrim Benonim. Now 20 of them were Benonim, meaning and then the other Talmidim. Okay, so good. Not a normal distribution. If you follow statistics, right? It's skewed, but okay. So 30 were like Moshe, 30 were like Yehoshua, and 20. What we would call regular guys, but that's totally an inaccurate way to describe a Tana. Gadol shebekula, now the greatest of them. That's not totally clear when the Gemara says the greatest of them. Are we talking about the Beinonim, or we're talking about either the 30 or like Moshe? Okay, but either way, Gadol shebekula, Yonasan ben Uziel. So the greatest of the students of Hillel HaZaken was Yonasan ben Uziel, and Katan shebekulan, and who was the smallest of them? Right, get ready. Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So that was Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So he
in stature or in physical?
No, I assume stature and student, the ability to understand. They understand the Rebbe, meaning in their grasp of Torah. That's what I assume. Amar Lav Rav Yochanan Zakkai Shloiniach Mikra. Now Rav Yochanan Zakkai, who the Gemara just put down low on the totem pole, the lowest on the totem pole in terms of the student of Hillel HaZaken. So just to give us the sense of what the low man knew and understand. So Shaloi Niach Mikra, so he was committed to Chumash, Mishnah's Mishnah, obviously. Gemara. Now Rav Yochanan Zakkai learning Gemara, so that's anachronistic, meaning the Gemara wasn't authored and edited hundreds of years later. So when the Gemara says Gemara, the Gemara here does not mean Gemara. Gemara means methodology. Meaning what the Amoraim did is their methodology was comparing one Mishnah against another Mishnah, trying to be Miyashi of the Mishnayos. So when the Gemara here describes Rav Yochanan Zakkai learning Gemara, it means methodology. Methodologically, he was involved in comparing Mishnayos, resolving Mishnayos. Halachos. Halachos, Rashi says, is a reference to Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. Agados, what we will call Midrashim. Digduke Torah. The Digduke Sofrim. Right? Anytime we get a halacha based on just simply an extra letter. So, Kabed Esav, I'm just throwing out an example. This is not Rashi's example. Kabed Esav Icha Ve'esti Mecha. So the S is coming to be inclusive. Or Rashi gives an example, which we're going to see later this morning. Ha Ezrach, the citizen. What do we do with that extra hay? So that's Digduke Torah. Digduke Sofrim, the all the Gzeres the Rabbanan that were added on. Kalim v'chamorim. Kalim v'chamorim are kavachomers. Things that are learned through kavachomer. Gzereshavas, we're all familiar. Tkufos. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai understand how to, a funny word, but we're going to see this word come up a lot in Rosh Hashanah. How to intercalate. How to basically align the lunar calendar and the solar calendar. And when necessary, add an extra Adar. We're right now, today, beginning Adar Sheni. It's a good day to talk about Tkufos. Adding an extra month in order to align the solar and the lunar year. Gamatrios. Now, it's funny. Gamatrios, I normally would have assumed that's assigning numeric values to a letter and arriving at that conclusion. And Rashi says that's true. But Rashi's first example of Gamatria is basically restructuring the letters using things like Atbash. Atbash is a method in which you take an Aleph and you substitute it with a Tav. And you take a Beis and you substitute with a Shin. And by using that kind of formula, so you arrive at some of the Sodos HaTorah, some of the secrets of the Torah. Sichas Malachi Ashare. So this is an interesting one. The next couple are going to be interesting. Sichas Malachi Ashare. The conversations of Malachi Ashare. Okay, I'm not conversant, as you probably would have guessed. Sichas Shedim. Okay, and the conversations of the demons. The Sichas Dekalim and conversations of the trees. Okay, sound. Yeah, I know. It's the most of the Gemaras that we're going to see over the course of Daf Yomi. Okay, now we could say it are going to be supportive of everyone who disagrees with the Rambam. Okay, the Rambam received tremendous criticism for his rational viewpoint. He wasn't okay. Sichas, but it doesn't take anything away from the Rambam. It just simply means that on that particular perspective, on that particular viewpoint, highly criticized. Sichas dekalim spoke to the trees, mashalos kovsim, mashalos shualim, and also all the parables and all the mashalim analogy stories. Okay, both of the launderers and of the foxes. Okay, the earlier generations, Rashi says, gave ways of communicating wisdom, just Mesorah traditions, and they put it into Mashal. And so he knew it all. Davagadav Davakatan. And he knew great things, and he knew, quote-unquote, small things. Now, Davagadol, what's an example of great things? Maisa Merkava. So you understood Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava, probably not the best translation, but metaphysics. Right, how the world operates beyond what we can actually see. Right, Maisa Merkava. Maisa Merkava is described in the beginning of Sefer Yecheskel, the first parak of Sefer Yecheskel. So you're going to see a description of Maisa Merkava. Okay, but what does it mean? So Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai understood. Davar Katan, and what's Davar Katan? Havayis Abaye v'Rava. Well, that's the discussion of Abaye and Rava. Right, Davar Katan. Meaning basically, a Gemara that we learn. Okay. The Rambam writes in Yisodei HaTorah that even though the Gemara says, sounds like from the Gemara, look, learning Gemara is great, but Maisa Merkava, Davar Gadol, right? We should be involved in Maisa Merkava. So the Rambam writes in Yisodei HaTorah, I don't have the Rambam in front of me, I apologize. But the Rambam writes in Yisodei HaTorah, yeah, but we should first start with the Gemara. Meaning the Gemara, the Rambam writes, the Gemara is Miyashiv Das, it settles the mind, it's not esoteric, it's very doable. So the Rambam says, start with Abaye and Rava. Start with the Gemara. And then after that, then you move on to the more esoteric. So l'chaim ha'shenemar l'hanchel o'av e'yesh v'otoshem ha'malei. So there is, for those who are o'avai, those who love me, I have, and o'otoshem ha'malei, and the storehouses are going to be full. Meaning, there will be olam haba for those who involve themselves and invest themselves in this type of study. Okay, fine. So that was all just simply a description of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a student of Hillel HaZaken. And the Gemara notes that Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was the Katan Shebekulan, and meanwhile, he mastered what we would call everything. Okay, to put it simply. And V'chim Me'achar Shekatan Shebekulan, Kach Gadol Shebekulan, Achas Kama V'Kama. Now, If you could imagine that we just described Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was katan shebekulam, the quote unquote smallest student of Hillel HaZaken, so now can we even begin to fathom Yonasan ben Uziel? So the Gemara says, Amar Lava Yonasan ben Uziel. Now the Gemara says, just a quick, just one snippet of just for us to just to try to formulate some visual of what it was to be Yonasan ben Uziel, or what was to see Yonasan ben Uziel, Mishal Shiyosef, Osef B'Torah, Kol Ovshe Perech Alav, Miyad Nisraf. So he's learning Torah, a bird flying goes over his head, and the bird immediately gets burnt up. Rashi explains why should that be. So Rashi writes, Shayu Malach Esharis Mitzkaptsim Svivav, Lishmor Divrei Torah Mipiv. Because the Malach Esharis were gathered around in order to hear the Torah of Yonasan ben Uziel, and the birds got burnt up as a result of the Malachim. So explains Rashi. Tosfos gives a different explanation. I didn't think there'd be Rashi and Tosfos here on this discussion. But Tosfos gives a different explanation. You see the top Tosfos on the Amud? So Shadvarim Smechim Kinesinasam Bisinai Shinisna Torah Be'esh. So Rashi says that Yonasan ben Uziel's Torah was so pure, it was mamish, a recreation of Har Sinai. We know by Har Sinai there was Esh. So when Yonasan ben Uziel learned Torah, so because he was able to recreate Maimon Har Sinai, so that is how the birds burnt up. They incinerated. No, we don't. No. As Tanaim go, no. We don't see much of him. We see much more of Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, I guess more, you know, the more relatable.
It was more in this world.
Yeah, yeah.
So much
fur, right. Correct. Okay, back to Abai and Rava. Misha Yarosha Veruba Basukha Vishokhan Basukha Bayas. Okay, so then we start the next Mishnah, and we are going to be discussing the size of the Sukkah. Now, if it sounds like we've been here and we've done that, it's because we've been here and we've done that. We quoted this Mishnah early in the Masechta, in fact, so early, if I'm not mistaken, the second day of Sukkah, we quoted this Mishnah. We told when we were talking about the Sukkah of Hiloni Hamalka and the small sub-compartments of her Sukkah. And then the Gemara went on to discuss what is the minimum size of a Sukkah. So we quoted this Mishnah. Now, as we pointed out earlier, there may, in fact, be not one machlokus going on in this Mishnah, but actually two machlokusim going on in the Mishnah. So I will present the Mishnah. I will present to you the two issues that are going on in this Mishnah, although it's hard to see it from the actual Mishnah itself. Misha Yarosh of Ruba B'Sukkah, if your head and the majority of your body is in the Sukkah, V'Shulchan B'Sukkah Habayis, and the table is in the house, meaning your Sukkah is right up against your house, you're sitting in the Sukkah, but the table that you're eating at, in other words, obviously there's an opening between the Sukkah and the house, and the table that you're eating at is in the house. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Beishamai posel, Beisol machshirin. So Beishamai says it's posel, Beisol says it's kasher. Okay. What are the two issues going on in our Mishnah? So as we learned earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Gimel, one issue is the following. Let's say the Sukkah is a big Sukkah. Okay? Now, enough area in the Sukkah. Greater than 7 by 7 tefachim. But, if for whatever reason, you're sitting in the Sukkah, your table's in the house. So Beishamai says that's no good. Why is that no good? For fear that as you're eating, you're going to be leaning over the table, hunching over the table, and you're going to be leaving the Sukkah as you're eating. So as a Gzera Derabanan, Beit Shammai says, one cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah and Achila B'Sukkah if his table's inside this house because of the Gzera Derabanan. That's one possible way to understand our Mishnah. Another possibility of understanding the Mishnah is that the Mishnah is actually talking about the minimum size of a Sukkah. Meaning, in order for a Sukkah to be a Kasher Sukkah, it must be able to hold you and a small table. And if it doesn't hold you and a small table, it's not going to be a Kasher Sukkah. What is the actual dimensions of you and a small table? 7 by 7 tefachim. Okay. Amar lan beisilo beisham alokacha yamaisa shahachu zikne beisham vizikne beisilo lavakas Rav Yochanan ben Acharanis. So the Gemara says, can we not go over the incident that takes place where we went to go visit Rav Yochanan ben Acharanis on Sukkos, umatsu sheyoshev rosh ruba besukah v'shulchan besukah bayis, v'lo amru lo davar. He was actually situated in exactly this manner, where he was sitting in the Sukkah, but meanwhile his table was in the house. And can we remind you, Beishamai, you didn't say anything. You didn't protest. So how come you're arguing with us now? Amr lam Beis Shammai Misham Raya Avhem Amru lo Im Ken Hayita Noeg lo Kiyanta Mitzvah Sukkah Miyamecha. So the rebuttal was, no, that we did say something. We did protest, and we did tell them that that's what you did. So lo Kiyanta Sukkah Miyamecha. Now, it's not exactly the most encouraging thing to say to somebody who is sick, and they're visiting while he's sick, but, okay, not encouraging. But still, in other words, you can't do that. You can't have your table situated in your house, even if you're staying in the sukkah. Lo kiyamta sukkah miyamecha. You never fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. Nashim avadim v'ketan p'turim in a sukkah. Then the Mishnah gives us a list of who is going to be exempt from sitting in the sukkah. Women, slaves, and minors are exempt from sitting in the sukkah. Kanchen etzarech le'imo chayi b'sukkah. And if the child is eino tzarech le'imo, no longer needs his mother, as the Gemara is going to quantify what exactly that means, he no longer needs his mother. But in other words, he's reached a certain age now. He's not bar mitzvah. He's under bar mitzvah, but he's trainable. Our job is therefore to train him. So chay b'sukkah is going to be obligated in sukkah. Ma'isa v'yalda kalaso shoshama yazaken. So the Gemara then tells a story where the daughter of Shammai Yazaken had a baby, and upi chesus amaziva. So what did Shammai do? Quickly, he took off the pitch off the sukkah v'sicha chagabe amita b'shvil katan, and he placed chach. He replaced it with chach, so that now this newborn would be able to sit in a sukkah. The Gemara is going to note making a sukkah for a newborn. What? We just said in the Mishnah that a child is pater from the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. And only a child who is of the age of chinuch is going to be obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. And a newborn certainly is not chinuch. I don't care how precocious he is. He's a newborn. So he's not going to be chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah. And the Gemara is going to note, the story that the Gemara just told doesn't fit in with the rest of the Mishnah. Maisa listor, the Gemara is going to address that. How do I know this? The Gemara just bypasses the whole sukkah, the sukkah next to your house, where the table's in your house. The Gemara bypasses that discussion. I guess it's because we've discussed it already, and we move right on to the discussion of women and sukkah. What is our Mishnah say? Women are exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. Minali mili detan rabbanan. So how do I know that? What's the source of this? So the Gemara says, because it's based on the following Braisa, Ezrach. The Torah says the word Ezrach, and when it comes to the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah, should sound familiar. We just quoted this pasuk yesterday, in yesterday's daf, called Ezrach b'Yisrael yeshiva b'sukkahs. So citizens sit in a sukkah. So now we're going to have a discussion of who is a citizen. So, Ezrach ze Ezrach. So when the Torah says citizen, it means citizen. Ha Ezrach, the citizen. We see time and again the hey is an exclusionary term. It's an exclusionary letter. It's Diktuke Torah, which we just talked about earlier this morning. Ha Ezrach, la hotzi es anashim. So that's coming to exclude women. Meaning women, the default is that they're included in the term Ezrach. They are a citizen. And then the Ha Ezrach tells us, yeah, but in the case of sukkah, no, they're excluded from the mitzvah of sukkah. So kol rabbis is a ketanim, and the word kol, because remember, the pasuk says kol ha-ezrach. So it starts off with a kol, kol zaribui, so that's coming to include minors. Okay, period. That's the end of the braisa. Okay, a couple difficulties with the braisa, and notably, I mean, you see it right at the end, the braisa just told us that minors are included in the mitzvah of sukkah, and meanwhile, our Mishnah says that minors are excluded from the mitzvah of sukkah. Again, the Gemara is going to jump on that. That's not going to escape the Gemara's attention. What? Yes.
Issue?
Okay, coming up. Coming up. Part of the Gemara's discussion. Amar Mar. Ha Ezrach lo tzias anashim. So the word Ha Ezrach is coming to exclude women. So the name of the Ezrach bein Hashem bein Gavri mashma. So the Gemara says, okay, now what did that say? Well, we made this point already. That the word Ezrach is inclusive. Meaning, the default understanding of the word Ezrach is that it's including men and women. V'hatanya, the Gemara says, okay, but I'm going to show you another Braisa, and the Braisa is going to go in the exact opposite direction. Ha-Ezrach l'rabbos ha-sanashim. Ha-Ezrach yo shechayav es b'inui. So, the term Ha-Ezrach is coming to include women vis-a-vis the mitzvah of inui, of afflicting yourselves on Yom Kippur. So Rashi points out, Yom Kippur, Dechsiv Tanu, it's Nafshel Sechem, V'chol Malacha Lo Sasu, Ha'ezrach V'Hagir. Right, the citizen and the convert. So the hay is inclusionary. Now the hay is including women. Women have to fast on Yom Kippur. Okay, that we get from the hay. Alma, but what does that mean? That the word Ezrach has a default is Gavre Mashma. So that only means men. Men are not women. So we are somewhat confused. Meaning when it comes to Sukkos, we said that the default of Ezrach was men and women. When it came to the mitzvah of Inui, Yom Kippur, the default of Ezrach was just men, not women. And then, in fact, we could just add to the confusion, when it came to Sukkah, the hay was exclusionary. And when it came to Yom Kippur, the hay was inclusionary. Okay, we're confused. So Amar Rabba, Hilchasaninu, V'asmechinu Rabbanan Akrai. So Rabba says, okay, the psukim that are quoted over here are not the real source of derivation. The drushas are not really based on the psukim. It's really halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. Meaning we know women are excused from Sukkah. We know women are included in the mitzvah of Inui of Yom Kippur. It just happens to be that the Chachamim connected to a pasuk. Again, the topic that is often discussed throughout the Gemaras of Asmachta. The Chachamim connected to a pasuk, but the pasuk is not really the source of the halacha. Haikra v'ayelchasa. So the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. Okay, well, one is based on halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, and the other one is based on the actual drasha. Well, which one? V'su kra lamali, hilchasa lamali. So the Gemara says, and furthermore, Danny, now we're going to get to your question. I don't understand. We're having a discussion over here. Halacha, drasha, don't we have basic rules? Meaning, ha'sukah mitzvah seseh she'azman grama, v'chol mitzvah seseh she'azman grama nashim peturos. Meaning, prior to the brisa, and prior to the drasha, and prior to Ezrach, and the default of Ezrach, prior to all that, if you would have asked anyone in this room, are women obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah? Well, let's go back to our basic rules. In the end of the first parak of Kedushin, the Mishnah tells us the basic rules are time-bound mitzvahs, women are exempt. Positive time-bound mitzvahs, women are exempt. Negative prohibitions, women are included. Positive commandments that are not time-bound, women are obligated. Now, everything I said is a general rule, and there are exceptions to the general rule. And you can see the Mishnah in Kedushin, where the Mishnah over there gives exceptions to the general rule. But the Gemara says, but why are we having a discussion? We know what the general rule is, and Sukkah fits into the general rule. Sukkah is the mitzvah seseh she'azman grama.
But if Sukkah lasts for 7 days and it's 24-hour continuous,
still,
why is it
anything which is calendarically based is man grama, regardless of duration.
So why don't we say, like, women don't pass on the Yom Kippur, is that time bound also?
Okay, so the question's correct. I'll come back to it. So the Gemara says, well, I don't have to come back to it. The Gemara is going to discuss it right now. So the V'chol mitzvah seseh she'azman grama nashim peturos. Yom Kippurim. Now, as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, again, before he got to the drasha of Ezrach, Ha'ezrach, women are obligated in the mitzvah of Yom Kippur. Because, mid Rav Yehuda Marav nafka, dam Rav Yehuda Marav, v'chein tan debei Rav Yishmael amakra, ish o isha, hish v'hakasov, isha le'ish, l'chol onshin shebetorah. We know that when it comes to onesh, punishment, anything that is connected with the punishment, which is going to be the law of the Torah, the negative prohibitions in the Torah, so women are bound to the law in the Torah. And Inu and Yom Kippur is a law with a punishment. So women are going to be obligated in the mitzvah of Inu and Yom Kippur. So again, question's very simple. In other words, you're bothered by Ezrach, Ha'ezrach, what's the default? Why, in other words, and it's not really a drasha, it's a smachta. The Gemara says, stop. Meaning, we knew the answers before we even asked the question. Women are exempt from Sukkah, it's a time-bound mitzvah. Women are obligated in Yom Kippur, it's a law and it's onish.
But it's also time-bound, no?
Yes and yes. Meaning, you're right, of course, you're absolutely right, it is time-bound. But it's also a law and it's also... and also as an onish. In fact, Shabbos, same story. Meaning, it's time-bound, and it's a lav, and there's an onish. So women are obligated. And not only women are obligated in the shamor of Shabbos, women are also obligated in the zachar. But that's because zachar v'shamor v'dibur echad. Okay. Anyway, So Amar Abaye. So let's try to get everything straight now. The question is very straightforward. I didn't need the drasha. I didn't need Ezrach. I didn't need Ha Ezrach. I knew what the conclusion was. So why even raise the issue? Answers the Gemara. The Gemara is going to give two approaches. Amar Abaye. La'olam sukkah hilchasam. So really, the truth of the matter is sukkah is halacha. The itzterech, and it's a halacha that's necessary because sakadat chamin and teshuva came to duru madir ish v'ishto av sukkah ish v'ishto kamash malan. I might have thought that women should be obligated in sukkah because, as we've seen and we repeat it time and again, there's this idea of teshuva kein daduru. You leave your house for the 7 days of sukkah. You move into your sukkah. Now, when generally speaking, when you move to a new location, so you bring your wife with you. Generally speaking. Right? In fact, the ishto is the beiso, right? Referred to in Chumash and in the Gemara time and again as the bias. So, one would imagine that if your sukkah for those 7 days is the replacement of your house, then one can only imagine, okay, so you go into the sukkah, your wife goes into the sukkah as well. So if your wife has to go in the sukkah with you, you could have made an argument that she's obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. So that's why I need the halacha to tell me that no, women are going to be exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah. That is one explanation of why it is that, on top of the general rules of mitzvah zetzah, shazman grama, I also need another halacha to tell me that women are exempt. Rava Amar, itzirich. Rava is going to give another explanation. Sakadat chamina yalev, chamisha sar michaga matzos. Malahal anashim chayavos, avka anashim chayavos, kamash malan. So, and another explanation is because of the Gzeres Shava. Second day in a row now that we speak about this Gzeres Shava, linking the first night of Sukkot to the first night of Pesach. Now the link we discussed yesterday teaches us that just like on the first night of Pesach, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah the first night. So now you go to the first night of Sukkot, the 15th of Tishrei, there's a mitzvah to eat in the first night. So that's the Gzeres Shava that we saw yesterday. Maybe with this Gzeres Shava, one could have argued women are obligated. Now, granted, of course, that would only mean the first night. Okay. But still, women are obligated. Women would be chayv in the mitzvah of sukkah. Because we know they're chayv in Pesach. We know they're chayv in matzah. See Rashi for a discussion of why we know that they're chayv in the mitzvah of matzah, even though the mitzvah of matzah is a time-bound obligation. So once I know they're chayv in matzah, and once I have a gzeir shava that links Pesach to sukkahs, now you could have made an argument, and you could have said that women are obligated in sukkah as well. Kamash malan. So that's Rav and Abaye giving two havaminas of why I thought women would be obligated in sukkah, and then why I need the halacha to tell me that no, they're not obligated. Okay, and now that I know that as far as women are concerned, that's halacha. So what's the pasuk coming to tell me? What is the Ezrach coming to tell me? L'rabbis is a gerim, so it's coming to include gerim. A convert is obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah. Now, you would have thought otherwise. So then Gemara says, look, because I might have thought that when the Torah says the words ha'ezrach, so the ha'ezrach maybe comes to exclude gerim, meaning that they have citizenship but not full citizenship, whatever that means. In America, we have these similar ideas. There's citizen, there's green card. In other words, there are levels of citizenship. So too, I might have thought, havamina, that gerim don't have that full Ezrach status, and therefore they're excluded, so the Ha'ezrach comes to include Gerim. Yom HaKippur Medrav Yudah Merav Nafka. So now the Gemara says, fine. So we've dealt with Sukkah, we've explained. Women are exempt from Sukkah, not just based on the general rule of Mitzvah Seseh Shazman Grama, but also because of a halacha, right? An additional halacha. And why do I need that additional halacha? So we had Abaye and we had Rava. Good. We ironed it out. And we also explained why there's a need for a pasuk of Ha'ezrach to include Gerim. Great. Now we're going to move on to Yom Kippur. Why do I need a special halacha that discusses Yom Kippur? And why do I even need a reference of Ezrach by Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, the Gemara just repeats the question. Yom HaKippur, Medrav Yehud Amar Avnafka. So the Gemara says, well, Nitzrucha Elol Tosefes Inui. So the Gemara says, what about Tosefes? Okay, not that long ago we discussed Tosefes. In addition to fasting from, well, let's just say simple, from sunset to the following night, so we have a mitzvah, Minah Torah, to be mosif, to add to Yom Kippur, to start fasting a little bit earlier than Yom Kippur. Okay, now this is what's called Tosefes Inui, right? And generally speaking, this is also the source of Tosefes Shabbos. Although we pointed out before, one of the oddities regarding the Rambam is that the Rambam talks about Tosefes Yom Kippur, but the Rambam never actually mentions Tosefes Shabbos. Okay, mystery of the Rambam. But anyway, the Tosefes Inui. So I might have thought that, yeah, of course women have to fast on Yom Kippur, but not on Tosefes Yom Kippur. Meaning maybe, right, the men have to stop eating, let's say, 20 minutes, I'm just throwing out a number, 20 minutes before sunset. Women, 20 more minutes of eating. That's a hav amina. And the hav amina basically would have gone like this. Look, we know that although one is subject to onesh on Yom Kippur, there is no onesh for Tosefes Yom Kippur. Meaning, for those 20 minutes prior to sunset, you got to stop eating. It's a mitzvah in the Torah, but if you do eat, it's not a punishable offense. There's no onesh, there's no azara, there's no lav. It is just simply aseh. So now, good. Now we're entertaining a good havamina. So now I might have thought, okay, women are bound to Yom Kippur because that has onesh. But women are not bound to Tosefes because there's no onesh. Kamash malam. Amar mar kol rabbos as a ketanim. So now we get, okay, good. So that was the discussion of women in the sukkah. Okay, can we summarize it really quickly? Sure. Women are exempt from singing in the sukkah. Okay. Oh, that was an oversimplification. But okay. The amar mar kol rabbos as a ketanim. The call is coming to include minors. So the Gemara says, I understand. The Braisa is including minors, and our Mishnah tells us that minors are excluded. They're not obligated. So Lokasha Kambakanchi Gilachinach Kambakanchalohi Gilachinach. The answer is pretty obvious. Okay, we're going to make a very simple distinction between a minor who needs his mother and a minor who no longer needs his mother. If he needs his mother, not trainable, not of training age. He no longer needs his mother. Now you have the mitzvah of chinuch to start educating and training him how to sit in the sukkah. Kanchigila chinuch midrabananu. So the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but the mitzvah of chinuch is not a mitzvah daraisa. It's a mitzvah derabanan. So how are you darshaning psukim, arriving at the conclusion of chinuch, when meanwhile it's a din derabanan, it's not a din daraisa? So the Gemara says, the Gemara concedes, point taken, you're right, it's a derabanan. What about the drasha of the Braisa? It's not a bona fide drasha. Again, it's an asmachta. The Gemara over here is going to quantify. Now, admittedly, the best way to quantify an age would be to throw out a number. Admittedly. But the Gemara understands that there are developmental stages. Each child develops at their own speed and at their own pace. And so to give a number, the Gemara does not do that. But rather what the Gemara does in terms of quantifying when the child now is of age of chinuch, so the Gemara gives instead of a number, a measuring stick. And what's the measuring stick? Not in inches, but rather, toilet training. The Gemara says is a time in which now he's of trainable age for the mitzvah of sukkah. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer kol shenei or mishnato v'eno kore imo, wakes up and doesn't cry for his mother. So I'm sorry, v'eno kore ima doesn't call for his mommy. Gedolim namikaru. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? Even right? Don't we all call for mommy when we wake up at night? Okay, maybe not all of us. But the Gemara says, Ela ema kol shener ve'ina kora ima ima. So I'm just going to read the Gemara a little more precisely. Okay, this is just, I'm not a Yaki, but this is just my aspiration to be a Yaki. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, it's the second sheet in the Gemara is, Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol shener mishnaso ve'ina kora ima, comma. Right, he doesn't call out to his mother. To which the Gemara says, ima, gedolam namikaru. What do you mean? Right, even older boys call out for their mother. So the Gemara says, "Ela ima kol shener ve'ina kore ima ima." All right, okay. So in other words, the distinction that we're going to draw is the following: if you wake up and you just continuously call for your mother and you refuse to be pacified and there's no way you can pacify yourself, you're not of the age of chinuch. You're too young. You don't have to. No compulsion on the part of the parents to try to get the child to sit in the sukkah. But once the child gets to the point now where he calls for his mother once, realizes mom isn't coming. Okay, I get it. Fine, stops calling for his mother. So then that's considered now. Eino tzarich li'imo. He no longer needs his mother, and at that point in time, the is obligated in the mitzvah of sukkah api through the mitzvah of chinuch. One note, the Gemara tried very hard and was successful in not giving an age. Okay, you look at the Rambam, you look at the Shulchan Aruch, so they give out ages. So the age they say, both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, is about six years of age. 5 to 6 years of age is the time that you should start investing in the mitzvah of chinuch vis-a-vis the mitzvah of sukkah. Right, the Gemara in sukkah, which I know is funny, we're learning the Gemara in sukkah. The Gemara says that it could be that depending on the mitzvah, right, the ages may fluctuate. In other words, the 5 and 6 that are given for the mitzvah of yeshiva basukka may not be the same age for other mitzvahs as well. Look, I'll give you a simple example. We know that when it comes to tefillin, the child at 8 years of age, 10 years of age, doesn't start wearing the tefillin, right? Wearing tefillin is a huge responsibility. You have to have the right mindset. You have to have a clean body. In other words, so we don't start with chinuch for tefillin, different minhagim, some a month. Right, some a week, whatever, different menhagim. But tefillin is just a good illustration of the fact that this is not a standardized, chinuch is not a standardized point. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Let's not start the next Mishnah. Let's finish the sugya. Maisa v'yalda kalasa. Okay. Maisa listor, I don't understand. Shammai hazaked made a sukkah for his newborn grandson. Now, maybe you could just tell me he got excited. it's his first grandson. But the Gemara assumes, of course not. The Gemara assumes, no, that was a halachic imperative. So the Gemara says, halachic imperative, what are we talking about? Is a newborn. So the Gemara says, Maisa listor chesur mechzer v'achik katani. So the Gemara says, yep, there's missing part of our Mishnah, and now let us fill in the blank. V'shamai hazakein, sorry, shamai machmir, Shammai was stringent upon himself. So Shammai argues. It's interesting. The Gemara gives us no svara, no understanding of why Shammai argues. But Shammai is of the opinion that even a newborn has to be taken outside to the sukkah. Okay. No explanation. Kol Shiva Zayamim, we start the Mishnah. Let's just go through the Mishnah and just run through the first bit of Gemara. Kol Shiva Zayamim, Adam Moses Sukkasu Keva Veso Arai. 7 days. The sukkah is your mainstay. Your house is not. In other words, you have to have an inversion of thought. During the rest of the year, the house is our house. Sukkah, if we want to eat al fresco. Meanwhile, on sukkahs, opposite, inverted. Your sukkah is your main house, and your house is your, okay. Yardu gushamim, me'emasai mutu lifnos. So now it starts raining on sukkahs. Lo aleinu, but it starts raining on sukkahs. So what do? Is you leave the sukkah. So you're allowed to excuse yourself from the sukkah. At what point exactly? Mishetisrach hamakpa. So when the food starts going bad, meaning the dripping is coming through the schach, landing right in your food, unpleasant, at that point in time, now you can go. Amash l'mashal, l'maha davar dome. So the Gemara says, mashal, meaning, what is it like when it rains on Sukkos? La'avish abal limzo kos l'rabo. It's like a servant who's coming to dilute the wine for his master. V'shafach lo kiton al panav. And the water gets thrown right in his face. Okay, tomorrow, we're going to better understand the mashal. Who's pouring water in whose face? Tanu Rabbanu Kol Shiva Zayamim Adam Moses Sukkasu Keva Veso Arai. Ketzad, Hayulo Kelim Na'im. Let's say you have beautiful dishes. Malin L'Sukkah. Bring the nice dishes out to the Sukkah. Okay. And it's such a Yitzhahara to use paper. Okay, but bring the nice plates out to the Sukkah. Matzaos Naos. Bring the nice sheets out to the Sukkah. Malin L'Sukkah. Ochav Eshosa Matayo B'Sukkah. So you eat, you drink, and you spatzir in the sukkah. It happens to be, not that I even know what the word spatzir actually means, but it's a great way to describe it. You're not taking a stroll in your sukkah. Your sukkah could be big. But mitayel just simply means you leisure in the sukkah. Right? You enjoy yourself in the sukkah. You relax in the sukkah. All right, Minahani Mila. Let's stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Braisa. Okay. Tomorrow we'll talk about Mitztayer, obviously.